Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. Glad to have your ears with us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, though, if you'd like to jot that phone number down now for use later, it's 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. Grants Pass City staff in studio today, beginning with City Manager Aaron Kubik. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And you brought that strange fellow with you again here.
Yes, Bradley Clark, our community development director.
Again?
Yeah, I know.
Best compliment I've heard in a while. Thank you.
All right. You're always welcome, gentlemen. Thank you very much. First of all, the big question, I think, right now, Aaron, well, for both of you, I suppose, right now is what is going on with Parker's Place? I understand we're getting close to putting people inside. What is the plan going forward right now?
Yeah, it is. That's definitely been on people's minds, and it's been on our minds also, making sure that the transition occurs as cleanly as possible with the respect to the individuals that are going to be utilizing those sites and that location. We've been working really well with Elk Island and Mint to make sure that they're geared up and ready to go. Of course, as you are aware, and some of your listeners may also be aware, the goal was for us to have something opened come June 1st. And we've made an excellent effort, both from a planning perspective, and Bradley can talk a little bit more about that and how we've processed things as you know, and treated them with a high priority like we do everyone that comes into the planning department. And with our good turnaround time that we have with all types of applications, we've been able to, you know, I think really meet the needs of trying to get that grant implemented that council provided and get the services available in June. And we're going to have that. Along the way, there were some things that, of course, with new construction, you always deal with. And we discovered that, you know, with the amount of paving that would be needed and some of the things, there were some stormwater retention items that came up and some other things that weren't quite from a vision of, okay, here's the lot, here's what we're going to be doing. So that created a little extra time needed to get the project done and underway. But if you drive by Parker's Place right now, which for our listeners,
it's really becoming visible.
Yeah, it's the old Parker Furniture Place. That's where Parker Place Village is what it's called now. It's where Mint works out of, and they provide wraparound services to people who are experiencing and are unhoused. Which is just on the south side of the 6th Street Bridge, is going very well. And as we both mentioned, you can see infrastructure there in place. You can see the paved road. You can see the Connex boxes. And so we are looking at having the first phase, and there's going to be four phases in this location, with the first phase having the capacity for 40 units. That means 40 resting opportunities for individuals by this week. So any day this week, we anticipate at least by the end of the week, we'll have phase one open. That means that we're going to have the ability to house 40 people at Parker's Place and provide wraparound services to those individuals. We anticipate then every week after that is what we're anticipating. We'll be able to open up phase two, phase three, and phase four. And then with phase four completing those phases, providing an opportunity for 150 resting sites. So again, we're looking at opening sometime this week and throughout the rest of the month. By the end of the month, come July 1, we'll have all phases in place, with the phases being basically 40 units, and then around 25 units or so in that fourth phase.
Wow. This has been an incredible journey.
It really has been.
And when I say journey, I'm talking about years in the past, moving forward to this point. And a lot of people have been involved right now. What's your feeling right now as we get close to, is it the end or is it just the midpoint?
Well, this has been something, as you said, years journey. When you take a look at how many years we were dealing with, the Ninth Circuit Court and the United States Supreme Court, and winning our case at the Supreme Court level, dealing with House Bill 3115, which is ORS 195, and the implications of being able to provide, and how do you manage public spaces and resting in public spaces, and that's specifically just to the state of Oregon, not to the rest of the nation. And working through those challenges, working through our last lawsuit that we had, which was the positive out of that lawsuit, was it ultimately provided a definition, a clear definition of what objectively reasonable was.
We knew what we needed to do.
Exactly. So that was a win. You know, whenever you're dealing with a challenge, if you're not quite sure what the challenge is, it's sort of hard to hit the target. We have a target now. And whether you like it or not, we have a target, which provided a great opportunity for council to draft policies to address that target. Staff implemented those. And with community's assistance, we were able to get what we've got today, which is Parker's Place Village, which will be opening here, like I mentioned, this week. It has been a long time coming, and I'm very excited to see that from a standpoint of getting the infrastructure established, which is one of the things that council was challenged with that lawsuit. We're there. We're coming through the tunnel, and there's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. And I see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel because I see a lot of opportunities for assistance for those people that are unhoused. I see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel because I see a different way of managing the unhoused and the areas that they can rest. I see light at the tunnel because the city council now has full freedom to, within state law, to implement time, place, and manner regulations within our public spaces. And we just recently made some modifications at the last city council meeting in a positive way to help provide additional tools for our public safety department. And then also the other part is from a community perspective, and an optics of a community perspective is we now are able to provide additional services to the unhoused. We also have, from an optics perspective, we will not be having those unmanaged sites that we currently have, say, for instance, on 6 and A Street. Those will ultimately be phased out as we phase in. So as capacity occurs in Parker's Place Village, we'll reduce capacity at the city's current managed resting sites. So we're going to be looking at reducing that 6 and A location and ultimately closing that down, and then looking at a reduction and an ultimate closure of the 7th Street site at some point in time in the future.
Okay. At this point, I want to say, phew.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot in what I just said, and that you could break down even more. It's, yes, there is. There's been so much work, effort, and focus, and this is an excellent example of the community coming together. It's an excellent example of excellent leadership from the city council providing good policy direction, staff assisting council by coming up with a program on how we can make that happen, which was the grant program, where the city provided $1.2 million to help get this initiated, with $600,000 of that being opiate dollars that was specifically targeted for drug addiction and mental health services. And so this was a perfect nexus to that, and utilizing those funds. So the city only put in about $600,000 of our own resources in order to make this happen. And that's probably, when I was looking at and talking to other communities that have programs like this in place, they've spent millions in order to get something established that we have established for $600,000 of our own local dollars.
So at this point, it looks like a real bargain.
It's a huge win. And that was only possible because of a great professional staff that provided opportunities for council to consider, council making good policy decisions to move forward, that created, with council's policy decisions, and incentivized community involvement in order to solve our problem. It wasn't the city marching through and doing it all and taking on all the responsibility. Because of the way we formatted the program with the teamwork of council and staff, it incentivized community nonprofits and service providers to come together to help create the solution.
All right. Well, Brad, I want to bring you in on this right now, because there were some delays there to get us. We were really targeted to June 1st, and from what I understand, we were on target. Some other things popped up that they had to deal with. ODOT was part of that. Can you explain all those things and how those happened? They were really unforeseen by everybody from city staff right on down, but things just continued to pop up, getting in the way, and we're actually pretty close to schedule considering.
Yeah, well, you know, one of our number one jobs in community development is public health, safety, welfare. And so that's, at the end of the day, that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we're supposed to ensure, both from a, you know, a health standpoint. You know, we work with the county on that, from a building standpoint, from an access standpoint, all those things taken into consideration. So one of the questions that I have received a few times now was, how can these people live in these metal boxes? You know, it just doesn't, it, something about it. Well, you know, that, that one of the main reasons is because the code under which Elk Island is constructing these containers is the Oregon Transitional Housing Code. It's not the Oregon Building Code. So this is an emergency shelter. And as an emergency homeless shelter, it falls underneath a completely different set of regulatory standards. Excuse me, when it comes to construction, it still has to be safe. So they were able to expedite the project, but they weren't able to avoid, you know, some of the fundamental fire and building standards. All that to say, when we started working closely with Bernie and Elk Island on the actual design of these containers and how they would work, yes, you're right, there were a few unforeseen things that came up. Aaron mentioned one of the biggest ones, and that was stormwater. You know, historically, this piece of ground didn't have anything on it, and so when it rained,
the water went in.
You know,
soaked in.
Went in. You know, well, now you've got a big driveway, and you've got steel containers, and the, when it rains and snows, the water's got to go somewhere. So
where's it going now?
So yeah, so that was something that you know, we had to look at, and it was not exempted under the Oregon Transitional Housing Code. So that was several weeks in terms of figuring out exactly on a fairly narrow, fairly tight space, how are you going to manage, you know, in a storm event, where is all that water going to go? So there are three ponds, and people can probably see one of them when you're driving on 6 right there in front. And there's a couple others that are situated on the property where the drainage will be channeled to those ponds, and then they'll seep out from there. So, yeah, and then, the, you know, the other big one was just the safety inside the units. And so while the transitional housing code doesn't require some of the standard energy efficiency and, you know, air conditioning, some of the other things, we still have electricity to the, each of those 150 beds and those, or I should say units. And so, you know, that electrical piece and how it was exactly going to be wired through those Connex boxes needed to be worked out with the electrician. So anyway, there's a long story, but I think those are the kind of the two top things why you saw a little bit of a delay in some of the things we had to work through.
Brad, can you get in, either one of you get into what one of these boxes is going to look like when you get into it? Now, I understand you see a metal box and you think it's going to be 100 degrees this summer sometime. What are those boxes going to be? They are actually, they're not air conditioned, but they are insulated. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, they're 40 foot long. And
the whole box,
mm-hmm. These are, you know, there's different size containers, shipping containers. These are 40 footers, there will be three doors that are cut into there, so the, each of those doors, and then there's two interior walls, so you're basically creating three rooms out of that 40 foot container. And in each of those rooms, as you walk in, there will be a bed on the right and a bed on the left.
And when you're in there, you don't really think that you're in a Connex box, because they've actually framed and drywalled the insides, and like Bradley was saying, it's on the left and the right. There's a bed, and underneath and there's space underneath the bed for storage, and so each one of those two people will share a space. But it looks really nice and clean inside. They're actually, you like I mentioned, you don't think you're in a Connex box.
Sleeping in a tent, doesn't it?
I would imagine it does.
Right.
I mean, there's a place for tents. Mm-hmm.
I have two tents in my garage.
Yeah.
They're going to stay there for the time being.
Yeah.
At any rate, as we're looking at that and we're phasing these first 40 in, and we expect that maybe happening this week.
Yes.
Okay. We don't have a hard date yet, but later this week sometime there will be 40 people living there.
Yep.
And I understand we've got a long list of people who have already registered to get into Parker's Place.
So Mint has, who's going to be providing the wraparound services at Parker's Place Village, has been doing community outreach for quite some time since they knew that this was coming up, and they do have a list of individuals as they've been talking to people out there on whether or not they'd be interested in coming to this site. So yeah, we have a list of like 130 people or something along those lines that said, yeah, I could have some interest. Now, will they all go there? We don't know. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the key piece is we've worked together on this to make sure it's successful. And like I said, the phased in approach, even if this door was to open up and they were able to have 150 tomorrow, that probably would not be the way to just say, come on in, all 150 people. So it actually worked out really well from a construction perspective and an operational opening perspective that we're doing this in phases.
All right. If we get 40 people in by the end of this week,
yep.
What does that mean in terms of the other resting places? Are we talking 6th Street North first? Will that one be closed down completely, and how long will it take to close that down? What's the transition period there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So staff has talked about that a little bit. We actually discussed it at our X team meeting yesterday. So you mentioned 6th Street North. Just so the listeners understand, we have basically three separate resting sites. On 6th and A Street, we have a big, large, open lot that's right there on the corner of 6th and A. And if you look at it, you think it's a really big lot there, and it is. And then we have just north of there an old historic building that's made of brick. Used to be the Yankee Pot Roast, for those of you that were around a long, long time ago. Well, there's actually two sites there, the 6th and G corner, and then the paved parking lot that's alongside the old Yankee Pot Roast is the second lot. That's the 6th and A North. And then we have 6th and A. Then we have on 7th Street over by the police station, we have a blank lot that is also another location. So 6th and A is similar in size to our 7th Street site, but the North, 6th and A North. So we're going to close that one down first. And then individuals can transition to one of the other two resting sites that we have for the time being, or they can transition to Parker Place as we shut down the North 6 and A. Once phase 2 and 3 kick in at Parker's Place Village, we'll be looking at closing down the 6th and A site. That'll be next. So the anticipation is that probably by the end of June, we'll be looking at having the 6th and A sites, both the north and the corner, closed. And we'll have the 7th Street open for a undefined amount of time as Parker Place Village continues to finish up phase 4 and general operations.
Fascinating, and there's more to talk about here. But I've also got some things to talk about here. I have some bills to play. We're going to take care of those, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress right now. We're down to our last about 7 minutes here. We've just been filling the air with news. Very interesting about what is really happening with Parker's Place and the transition and how we're going to get there. And we're going to, by the end of this week, we should have people, about 40 people, in Parker's Place. And that will entail the shutting down of the 6th Street North resting site right now. How many people will that mean, and do we expect all 40 to go in there? How is that transition going to work? What are the nuts and bolts? Do we have that, or is that up to the Mint people?
Well, we have our community resource team, and we have Mint. We're all going to be working together from a public safety perspective, trying to make sure that all the individuals have an understanding of what their options are and where they can rest in our community. So we'll be encouraging individuals that we feel are a good fit, all the service providers along with public safety feel are a good fit for the Parker Place Village. We'll be encouraging them to go there. And then we will be shutting down the space of 6th and A North. And it'll be up to those individuals that are currently in there to determine where they go from there. They'll have multiple options. They can move to 6th and A or 7th, or they can go to Parker's Village, or they can those would be their two local options.
You're not providing bus tickets to anywhere, are you?
No, you know, okay. In the past, the bus ticket thing, you know, we're not just sending people on random bus tickets. There have been in the past where if we run across an individual who is unhoused and is trying to get home, and if we can reach someone, say, we'll just say in Bend, mm-hmm. a relative, and we can get them on the phone, and it's like, hey, I've got John Smith here, and we recognize that they're a family member and that we want them to come home, then we will assist them in getting to where they need to go sometimes. But that's just us trying to connect them to resources. That's not us buying bus tickets to randomly. we don't do that.
That was a strange tangent, and I almost apologize for that.
No.
But in the meantime, what kind of time frame will the people be given at 6th and A? All right. Say we're closing this slot, and within 3 days, you've got to be someplace else. And do the other two resting sites have the space to accommodate those people?
Well, the key is from a standpoint of ultimately our spaces will start shrinking in size, mm-hmm. to where technically we will not have at the city's sites the capacity to serve 150 people. So we will have the capacity between Parker's Place Village and the city's unmanaged sites to house 150. But that pendulum is going to be shifting from the city having the 150 inventory to Parker's Place Village having 150 inventory.
Okay, from the time we open for 40 people, how long will it take to close that down? Will we be given 3 days, given a week? What will the people be told at that particular spot?
Yeah.
Or do we know yet?
Yeah, we usually give somewhere between 96 hours to a week. And so this is not – we're looking at compliance. We're looking at in a respectful manner, making sure that people are transitioning appropriately. So providing a week's notice would be, I think, a very appropriate time frame.
All right.
And I would add that I think it's important to remember there's not – just the city of Grants Pass and Mint. You know, there are other nonprofits, other social service providers doing work, you know, on the street with the unhoused options. You know, the Mid-Rogue Foundation. You know,
the mission is another opportunity for people to go with the inventory.
Right, right. So, who are working hand in hand to help, you know, connect them to resources, beds, places to stay. So, I think it's. Just recognizing the network of work and services that's ongoing, other than just, you know, this particular outreach.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show right here on KAJR Radio. Fascinating this morning. I hope you're enjoying it so far. And there's more to come, so don't go away. We've got some commercials and news to come back, and then we'll invite you to stay with us and get your phones ready for the next half hour. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. The phone lines are open if you have a question or comment to our guests. It's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to either Aaron Cubitt or Bradley Clark, our guests from the City of Grants Pass today, City Manager and Public Works Director. Community Development Director, let me get that right here. And we've been talking mostly about Parker's Place Village and the Lowberry Homeless Shelter about to open here in Grants Pass, the end of a – not the end, but perhaps the looking at the end of a long, years-long process to deal with the unhoused situation here in Grants Pass. And we've talked about that earlier, but where are we going with this right now? We've talked about suddenly getting – by the end of June, most of those camps closed locally and Parker's Place full. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's like you were saying, I think of it as a start of a new chapter for our community. And it's a big win. And we were talking about notices. When we closed down, if you may recall, our city employee parking lot was once used as a resting site.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when we needed some additional inventory when we shut down J Street. And we gave 72 hours notice of closure, and that's likely probably the process that we'll use moving forward with the other sites also.
All right.
But it, yes, it is. The key is that for people to take a look at, you will start to see some change in that location, in both locations, as you've seen some change in Parker Place Village with all the infrastructure that's now in place. There's still going to be a lot of work that's going to be done there. But starting this week, we will be transitioning individuals from our city unmanaged sites to Parker Place Village.
All right, so we're going to see that happen right now, and all that's going through Met. We've got a waiting list again. People are registered to get back in there. What, over 120 people so far? But how do I get in? Do I have to go through Met? Are there requirements? Do we know that process right now that you can elaborate on?
Well, it's considered a low barrier site that Parker Place Village is, which there's still some rules. There's some expectations that need to occur there. There's going to be some security presence and wraparound services that are going to be provided, but individuals can't use drugs on site, et cetera. So there are some minor rules, but they're what's considered from an industry standard low barrier.
Low barrier. I go through Med in order to get in. They're controlling the admission. Is that right, or is that the proper way to phrase that?
You know, it's where the city technically doesn't have any oversight with regards to the operations. So they have an operations manual that they're following, which is very similar to when we were talking with both Elk Island and Mint. They really took a look at Rogue Retreat, which has been very successful and has years of experience behind them down in the Jackson County, Medford area. And they are utilizing their operational plan to do something extremely similar. So I'm probably not the one that's the most educated and informed on the operational plan. I've toured the site. I understand sort of what it is. But they're doing something very similar. And like I said, the city's main key point was to help with infrastructure, to get the infrastructure established to provide a successful environment for someone like Mint and Elk Island to actually provide those wraparound services and opportunities for people to rest. And we're going to be completing that come the end of June.
All right. Well, certainly. And we'll just mention right now that if there is a Mint person, spokesperson out there listening and you want to give us a call at 541-472-1270, certainly welcome to do that. Bernie, if you're out there listening, yeah, by all means, if you want to add to this conversation, by all means, feel free to do so. So we've got people into Parker's Place, and we're starting to close down the resting sites. I understand where the plan is generally to keep the 7th Street site open or at least available. Is that the plan right now? And if people aren't going there, can they still go there in perpetuity?
Not in perpetuity, but the whole reason why we're holding 7th Street site a little bit longer is for success, for community success and our partners. We want to make sure that we're doing things in a respectful way, that individuals have the appropriate time to transition, and that the infrastructure is established and at Parker Place Village. So we want to make sure that when they're at 150 capacity, if that's the case, or they have the capacity of 150, that they're operational and things are going smoothly. We don't want to have to take steps backwards. We prefer not to have something occur to where, the capacity has to be shortened. I don't know what that would look like. But we want to make sure that we're not turning on and off the switch of our unmanaged sites. We want to slowly just phase those out. So we're being cautious and with regards to not being too premature and, hey, let's hurry up and shut it down.
Right, because that leads us to the next question, and that is some of these people aren't want to go into Parker's Place. And mm-hmm. I would have no idea why they would not. But that's probably another conversation. So dealing with those people, suddenly we're talking about additional law enforcement. We've got additional law enforcement on the streets right now. We just passed amendments to the city code allowing the police actually to put more arrows in their quiver, for a lack of a better term, We've closed down or closed loopholes where people can't sleep in open places or mm-hmm. doorways. Or if you want to elaborate on that and tell what outline what Sheriff Hensman or any of his officers are talking about right now, are they happy with this?
Oh yes, yeah. The latest code revisions that we did that were in front of council at the last business meeting was a team effort. It was a team effort between parks, community development, public works, our public safety, both police and fire, and our legal counsel, putting together a package that provides the best tools and environment for the community.
All right, now that's actually the first step towards an exclusion zone that's been talked about here on this program mm-hmm. Pretty significantly, and I think under consideration by the city council too. Is this just shy of an exclusion zone, or is that what would be the next step?
Well, council is exploring two additional tools when it comes to behavior and within what we're seeing within the community. And that is an exclusion zone and a municipal court. Both of those will provide additional resources for our public safety department and for our community to utilize. And they sort of go hand in hand, but they're also separate at the same time. We can implement a municipal court without an exclusion zone. We can implement an exclusion zone without a municipal court. But both of those work stronger together. And so council will be considering both of those items in the near future. And I know municipal court is coming up actually June 15th. We're going to be discussing that. So our next workshop will be a big discussion on the municipal court.
Implementing a municipal courts, I understand, is going to be significantly expensive. Bradley, you look like you wanted to jump in on that one.
Well, not the court thing. I was just going to add, as the parks director, that what you know, and it may be easy for people to forget, but it was only a couple of years ago when you know a lot of the driving force for this work that the council's doing, you know, was because of the unhoused throughout the park system. It was only Reinhardt Volunteer Park that they were not permitted to be in. And I think that's in terms of enforcement within the parks, hopefully the community is seeing a, you know, big impact. We certainly are as staff in terms of the number of tents, the amount of time that we spend cleaning up
numbers of contacts in the park, those kinds of things.
Exactly, yeah. So just a really positive thing in terms of the park system and how this effort with Parker's Place, because that today is already in place in terms of the police's ability to enforce no camping in the parks is, you know, this is the place we're in. And so we're seeing, if you walk through the parks, I think today, a big difference in terms of needle count and confrontations and everything like that.
Yeah, Bradley's right. I mean, what we're doing is we're doing a lot to help preserve an opportunity for everyone to utilize the parks. And with Parker Place Village in place, people have the ability to rest and get wraparound services. That doesn't preclude individuals that may be staying at Parker Place Village or something to still utilize our park system. Everyone can utilize our park system. We recognize that there is still some illegal activities and concerns with regards to conduct and behavior that may be against some of our codes that we have in place at the parks. We're dealing with it on a regular basis, whether it be Morrison Park or others. There's still individuals that are doing things that are not appropriate. And so the latest code revisions that we did, like you mentioned, provide additional quivers, you said, do provide additional tools for our public safety department. We're also, from an environmental perspective, trying to change some of the things that we're doing, and from an information perspective, we're looking at placing additional signage and information in our restrooms, in and around our parks, so people have more awareness of what is appropriate and not appropriate. We're also looking at retrofitting some of our restrooms to provide blue lights, and not just our regular lights that you have here in like your office, but the blue lights. And that has, we have seen that to be beneficial when it comes to drug usage in those type of structures, as blue lights prohibit them potential drug users for being able to see their veins. And so that does help with that. So looking at other environmental things that we can change to help create an opportunity for good conduct and behavior to occur in the park system.
All right. Let me echo just my thanks for cleaning up the park system. As we've seen so far, I live within a couple of blocks of one of the parks, and just the traffic to and from the parks has been significant, and I see people walking again and having a good time and taking their dogs. And, kudos to all of the law enforcement people who've done that, and, of course, the people who instituted it. So once again, thanks, and we'll just echo that. We have taken this a long ways, and people have learned an awful lot about Parker's Place and the transition and what we're looking at, and it appears to me that by the end of summer, we will be in a significantly different place than we are right now. Is that fair?
It is. Like I mentioned, it's a new chapter. And that's because of all of the experience, the highs and lows that we've dealt with over the number of years that we've been dealing with this. It has been quite a journey. And I'm just glad that we're moving into a new chapter where we have a defined avenue on what we need to manage and maintain.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. The number is 541-472-1270. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the Tuesday Talk Show here. We've got Bradley Clark and Aaron Kubik in with us here from the city of Grants Pass, been dealing with the in-house situation here and the progress that's been made. And we know you've been fairly busy with that. Do you guys have anything else that's keeping you busy these days?
Maybe one or two.
Maybe
things.
One or two.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to point out one of them, which is something we've talked about on your radio show before, and that's the Urban Renewal Agency's called our North Star Project. We've called it the Midland Washington Project, north of Midland between Highway 99 and Washington. So we had a forum a couple months ago where we had really good, I think we had about 50 to 60 people that attended the forum. We had live surveying. We got some other online surveys during that time. Lots of other interviews with stakeholders. So the consultant team has taken all that feedback, looked at our zoning, looked at, you know, traffic counts, et cetera, and put together three or four visual concepts for how that 8.5 acres could actually maybe develop out. You know, these are very high level, of course. The city's not going to build it. The Urban Renewal Agency's not going to build it. But our goal is to kind of put forth a vision that has strong community backing that we can then, you know, market to the development community, to investors. I got a sneak peek at these three concepts. Pretty exciting. One of them is a little bit more commercial oriented. One of them is kind of a equal mix between housing and commercial, and the other one's more heavy on residential. Next Thursday evening, these will be unveiled and seeking feedback. And again, these can be modified over the next few months. I think it'll be a fun forum because it'll be a chance to kind of, you know, see some of the concepts that the public put forward that are important to them, you know, actually on paper.
All right. So, can you give us just a peek or a little hint at what you've seen there about the combination of commercial and residential there together in that area?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of it's built on Bunnell Street, which runs north-south, basically right through the middle of the project today. It's not a street that many people drive on.
Is that really a city street?
It is. Well, it's a private street originally.
Okay.
But it has, in essence, become part of this project because it's owned by now a public entity. I think the vision for it would be that it would be public to give kind of another connection option for pedestrians, bicyclists, you know, cars. But a lot of it's built on that because the zoning today is kind of residential on the west side of Bunnell and commercial on the east side. And then you have Franklin, which is just behind the fire station, the Hillcrest Fire Station, and then kind of runs it. It doesn't go through to 99 today, Some of the concepts envision that maybe connecting out to the highway. So those are kind of the bones, if you will, is kind of an extension of Franklin, using Bunnell as kind of a main north-south. And then, you know, that mix of bringing just more higher density residential out there, some open space, being able to use the infrastructure that's there is going to be a huge advantage to us as we market this property, because there is sewer and water and stormwater mostly already developed out there.
In terms of commercial development on that, what do they foresee, or what are they are projecting here? We're talking about a big mall, a small strip mall, entertainment. What are we talking about? Do they have any ideas yet, or is it too early to tell?
Well, you know, as all these projects go, the market's going to dictate.
Uh-huh.
The preliminary look at it, and some of this will be discussed next Thursday evening. And again, that meeting's at 5:30 at the All Care Community Room at 1701 Northeast 7th Street.
The All Care building.
The All Care building, yeah. They have a community room up there on 7th Street, and that's where this will be, 5:30 next Thursday. But one of the things that we will be talking about is the economist's initial look at the site, what may or may not be viable and feasible when it comes to actually penciling out for a private operator. Retail is probably not going to be a significant component, and that's largely because if you look at the city's absorption rate for current retail, it's just not showing that to be a really strong sector. Retailers of pretty much any stripe are looking for a lot of rooftops and, a certain amount of discretionary income within each household. We have some of that in Grants Pass, but probably at this point in time, not enough to really justify bringing in a lot of new retail. That doesn't mean you won't see some, particularly maybe some kind of small to mid-size footprint, square footage. But that's, at this point, the economists are saying, yeah, you're probably not. Now, we can always take the long view and say, hey, we're going to hold out for 15 years and just keep this piece of dirt, for a retailer when they're ready. That's certainly an option. The other is to look at maybe more of, this holding some for more like some entertainment type uses, or maybe a public sector type use. It's just very open. Residential seems to be kind of the strong suit when you look at what's viable though in the immediate future.
All right, next Thursday, 5:30. Did you say
next Thursday? Yep, Thursday, June 18, 5:30 p.m. at the All Care Community Room A.
All right, folks, if we want to get a real close look at what we're talking about here, the old hospital site is really what we're talking about, just north of Midland there, between Washington and the highway. All right, that's one to look forward to. You've got some other things going on around town. Our time is almost gone here. What else do we need to hit? We don't talk about Owl Plaza, Fifth Street. What's going on, gentlemen, real briefly?
Well, we also have one of the things that's great is we have our 250th year anniversary for the United States and our great nation. And so we have a 4th of July celebration that's coming up also at Reinhardt Volunteer Park. The city is partnering with other community members to help create another wonderful event. It seems like we started off with just some fireworks a few years ago there, and we've moved into it really being an entertainment venue for the whole day almost. So we're excited about what's happening there on that day.
All right. Well, that's almost a weekend of it, because First Friday, I understand Main Street's got some big things going on also. So make it a weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And celebrate the 250th anniversary.
Great place to be for our Independence Day.
All right.
Yes.
The other thing is we're getting close on completion of the Riverside Bandshell stage.
Yeah.
And we will have a grand opening ribbon cutting type event for that. And so, we haven't nailed that down exactly.
No hard date yet, huh?
No hard date yet. But, if folks are out there, they can see it's taking shape. So we'll be announcing that date soon.
It looks really good where it is, sort of tucked in there along the trees, and it's a very pretty sight.
All right, gentlemen. let's say, can we drive through the park yet?
Can you drive through the park?
Yeah, Riverside Park. I know when some of the construction was, you could not drive through it.
Yeah, it's open now.
It's open now? All right. I'll drive through it again and enjoy that view again. Just to drive through it is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, at any rate. So you guys, let's see, been a little busy. Anything else that we need to pass along that the people need to know about right now?
Well, if people have been downtown, they've certainly seen some construction around the Owl Plaza.
Is Fifth Street open yet?
Fifth Street open
Fifth Street
yet. Is open.
Good, good.
Fifth Street is open. H Street's open. We don't envision any more street closures, but there'll still be a lot of maybe temporarily as we bring in equipment and mobilize for finishing out the plaza itself. That's kind of the big piece that's left now is you know, putting the infrastructure underneath there and then putting the pavers down and getting all the landscaping and putting up the shade sail. So a lot of that work may require maybe some short-term closures, but for the most part, all the painful street closures are done.
Oh, good, good. All right. Brad, I got a short time left. I'll give you 2 minutes to wrap things up. What do people need to know from your perspective?
You know, those are the big ones from our standpoint. You know, we're excited to keep partnering with multifamily developers, and within a few months we'll see the doors open on Nebraska Trail, which is the 51 unit project right near the hospital on the corner of Nebraska and Ramsey. So that's an exciting thing that we're envisioning. And then what's the other? Well, we have the 67-unit apartment that we're partnering with the Jackson Housing Authority on Allen Creek and what's that on the corner of Allen Creek and
– Is it Harbeck?
Harbeck, yes. Yep. Thank you. So they're making strong progress on that. You'll have to have Public Works on to talk about. There's a few delays on the opening of Allen Creek, but you can certainly see a lot of progress there. The sidewalk's completed on that on the west side, and so you still got to do the east side. But lots of fun projects around that we're seeing come online. The Veterans Village project on Hillcrest has all the three main buildings up, and those also expect to be open in the spring.
I'm going to have to put a time clock on you next time.
Yeah, get that timer out.
I'll find 2 minutes for you,
all right.
Manager.
Well, I just want to state, and I'm sure your listeners have heard me say this before, but we are truly at our best when we hear from you. And I mean that, and we want to be the best we can be. If you have comments or concerns, please reach out to us. If you'd like to tell us we're doing something amazing, we'd love to hear that too. And that goes from a council level through to staff. So you can reach out to us by calling 541-450-6000. You can also go to our website, and there's a lot of ways you can contact either council through email or staff like Bradley and myself. So please, if you have some concerns, questions, we'd be happy to sit down with you and have a discussion.
All right. Thank you very much. Community Development Director Bradley Clark and City Manager Aaron Kubik, we thank you very much for sharing your Tuesday morning with us. To all of you, a little look ahead. Next week, it is county staff scheduled in here from 9:30 to 10:30. Following that, the commercials will be in the following Tuesday. And the final Tuesday this month will be Sheriff Dave Daniel in this studio. So I'll be gone for a couple of weeks. So welcome in Alex Bauer for at least the next two Tuesdays right here on KAJO Radio for the Tuesday Talk Show. You have a good day. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass.